Hey everybody, hi, welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast, episode 299. That means the next one, fellas, lady fellas, and they them fellas is a big one. And I hope you guys are excited, because I am. I have something planned for you to commemorate episode 300. And part of that is in the Discord. Join the Discord. There's an event currently for episode 300. Even if you are not part of the Film Live before a studio audience tier, you get to watch these episodes get recorded live April 3rd, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time. Please join the Discord. It's a lot of fun. It'll be cool. We all get to be kind of part of one thing as we make an episode of this podcast together. My name is Vince. I hope you guys are doing well. You look fantastic. Let's get into the show. In my further adventures of being a senior citizen, I've seemed to have thrown my back out once again, but we're not here to talk about that. What I want to talk about is scalping, real quick. I don't play Magic the Gathering. I never have. I don't plan on doing so at any point in time, really. But there are Fallout and Magic the Gathering cards, and I really want some. They're really cool. Some of my favorite characters got cards. Three Dog got a card. Fallout 3 New Vegas Art of Deathclaws got a card. One character that I never thought anybody thought about other than like me and maybe six other people, Ian, the first companion you can get in the first Fallout, got himself a card. Some of these are really, really dope. Really, really cool cards. Really cool ideas. There's like Pip-Boy variants that are apparently rare. And I'm just never gonna like own these cards because I went to go buy a pack the other day. I was like, I'll buy a pack. 15 cards. You know, Pokemon is like 10 cards, I think, or 11 or 12 cards, and it's like $6. So what is it gonna be? 10? No, they're like, I don't even know what they're actually coming out at the boosters. But they're being scalped for, the lowest I saw was like $45, $46, $47. And the highest I saw was $70 for a pack for 15 cards. That's an outstanding amount of money for cardboard. And I really want a pack. I really, really want a pack. I really want some cards. I really want even just some loose. I just want like, if the Tunnel Snakes have a card, I want, or Butch, I want a Tunnel Snake, I want Butch, I want Three Dog, most definitely. Like, Boone. I don't even know every card that had come out. I didn't even, like, look through the art because I was like, well, I'm never going to own them. But if you have them, join the Discord and share. I would love to see some cards you have, some of your favorite cards, just things that you got out of these packs. I wanted a couple. I had plans. I was going to buy a bunch of boosters. I didn't think a booster box was like 200 and change. And I was like, I'm not paying that much for cardboard. And that's the thing. It's like, I have my shelf here, but what am I going to do with the cards? Like, I'm not going to get them framed. I'm not going to get them graded. I was thinking about getting like my favorite characters and getting them graded and not really caring what the grade is, but just to frame them and have them on the wall. But like, if you like Magic and you play Magic, congratulations. And you like Fallout, congratulations, because this was made for you. And nobody else, apparently, because nobody else can get their hands on them. But if you have them, like I said, join the Discord below. I would love to see what you got. I'd love to see what you pulled. I just like cards. I like card games. I like gambling, so I like pulling things out of packs. So please, join the Discord. I'd love to see it. Also, join the Discord while you're there, because we're going to do a live recording of episode 300. April 3rd. April 3rd, a Wednesday. April 3rd, 8:30 MST, baby. So guys, I'll be completely honest with you. I was ready to become a one-trick pony. I was ready to talk nothing about the Fallout show until the Fallout show came out. And now me saying this, it's going to happen on a Thursday. But I was ready to talk more about it. I was ready to make this episode about the Fallout show again, like the past three of them have been, kind of. But we just didn't get any more news. And we're probably not going to get any more news because we're super duper close. We actually got, I'll talk about it because we got it today. It was like a Fallout trivia show that it was like the cast, the main four people from the show. They talk about the show and they ask them trivia questions like, oh, what vault do they come out of? And what's Lucy's catchphrase? And I didn't know it was okie dokie. And I love her. And I think she's perfect. We're never going to get to see Piper Wright, but I have a feeling she might be the closest thing to Piper Wright we're getting. She's all spunky, but it was cool. It was a cool little thing that they didn't have to do, and they did, and we have it. And I wish I could talk more about the show. Hey there. Hi. It's me. This is a little pickup cutaway thing that I wanted to do quick. I'd like to start off by apologizing. This is filmed like a Let's Play from 2009 or a Dark Side Phil video from last year, because I wanted to share something with you guys. For a very long time, I've loved Fallout 3. This is my avatar from my 360 from when I had hair. I don't have hair anymore, but I had hair and the beginnings of a beard, and at one time I really wanted a pompadour. And the big theme of this year, for me at least, has been not just nostalgia, because I feel like it's always a little bit of nostalgia, but it's been very much going back to speak to a younger version of myself and doing things and acting on things that a younger me would be proud of me now doing, if that makes any sense. So this is my account. This is something that I spent a lot of time with as a baby. Not like an infant, but like a child. Like as a little person who was trying to discover what the world is. And as you probably know, as you most likely know, my favorite game of all time is Fallout 3. But I want to share with you what I did and how time is a weird thing and how it moves funny and just it's something I'm proud of that I feel like sharing. So this is my copy of, this is the save, my copy of Fallout 3 on the 360 for all of my achievements. And I have them all. And like, this isn't anything to brag about, that an almost 15-year-old game, I have all of the achievements for, but it's something that meant so much to me that I wanted to share it. Like, it's something that when I got my old account back, an account that I never thought I was ever going to get back, like, I was never going to see this name again, I was never going to see these achievements again, I was never going to see Kyle's gamer tag pop up, I was never going to see, like, when I first got this back, I went through all of my friends list just to see who was still playing, and if I remember who they were, and, like, the memories that I had of just existing with these people playing games. And the first achievement I got, I told the story a million times, and I'll tell it real quick again. On my birthday in 2008, for my 12th birthday, I got to go to GameStop, and I got to pick out a couple games, and one of the games that I picked out was Fallout 3. My birthday's November 16th every year. I almost said the year I was born, which, I mean, doesn't really matter, but still. November 16th, the Pip-Boy 101 Citizenship Award. Get the Pip-Boy 3000. Which, I mean, is the first thing you do, other than make your character. There's not an achievement for that. But I got this the day after my birthday. 11-17-08. And 08 was like a really big year for me. For some reason, 11 and 12 are a really, really big reason in my head. And I'm not really quite sure why. And it's surprising that only 21.37% of people who have played this game have unlocked this achievement. But I'm one of them. As dumb as it sounds to be, like, happy with that, because following in his footsteps, 56% of people got, but only this many people got the Pip-Boy. So maybe there was like a bug that just didn't proc. I don't know, whatever. But I got this on my birthday. I got this the day after my birthday, and I was so excited to play Fallout 3. And through the years of all this playing and all this loving and creating a podcast about how much I love Fallout, it kind of like stood in the back of my head that I didn't have all the achievements. Like, I remember going out of my way to get all the bobbleheads, which is an achievement here, and I went out of my way to get that achievement. Like, also, real quick, I like the way it stops. Data miner. Hack 50 terminals. 2 days before my birthday, 11-14-2013, and then it stops until 3-18-24. So, oh my god, 11 years... 11 years later, I picked up the trail. Like, 11 years later, I went back to doing this again. But, like, I remember going to a bonfire of a friend of mine. It's such a shame that he passed away. But just going to my friend's bonfire and talking to his older brother about how much I love this game and how I, like, just finished. I remember having a shitty phone and, like, showing him the picture I took of the bobbleheads all together in a row.
I've gotten this one at least a dozen times. Millworker, get all 100 ingots. Yeah, there's a reason why it's 5.60% of people. But I don't know. It's like I have to prove it to myself that I have to get it. I can't find it. Not a huge deal. The point is, when I did this, when I finally beat this the other night on March 23rd of 2024, I felt like a part of my childhood had ended. I just felt like it was over. Like, I felt like it was a thing that this held such reverence, such, I don't know if reciprocity is the word I'm looking for, but I just love this thing so much. I still love this thing so much. There's a lot of magic in this game. A lot of magic that a lot of people won't give it the credit for because of New Vegas, and I think that's absolute horseshit. But there is a lot of magic in this game. There's a lot of love in this game. There's a lot of just something special in this game. And it just felt like when I beat, like, I remember beating it, I walked out of, the last thing I did, I sold the fella in Megaton, I sold him scrap metal. I gave him scrap metal, and it was enough XP to get me to level 30, and I got the Messiah. Reach level 30 with good karma. It just felt like that part of my life when I was 11, 12 years old that for some reason sticks in my head as being such an important era of my life came to a full circle stop with this. And I can't explain it. It wasn't a sense of ennui. It wasn't a sense of malaise. It wasn't a sense of anger. It wasn't a sense of anything right or wrong. It just felt like an ending. And I love a good ending. And I know a lot of people think endings are going to be like, oh, they're big and they're magical. And sometimes they are. Sometimes an ending is big and magical. Sometimes an ending is a pittering out of nothingness, a flame that is just until it is gone. But this just felt like it was over. Like something was over. And I don't know what it was. It didn't feel bad. It didn't feel good. It just felt like there is a 12-year-old version of me that felt like he could rest. But the 12-year-old version of me never felt like he was upset. He was angry with the world, yes. But what 12-year-old isn't? And this is just something I wanted to share with you guys. This is something that means a lot to me. And I said I wanted to do this year, and I did this year. I'm thinking about hitting New Vegas, but also I have a bunch of my 360 games here, and I might try Todd's other baby, Skyrim, just because I haven't played it pretty much since it came out. And I never played the DLC. So I'm thinking about hitting this one next. I don't know if I'm going to do all the achievements. I don't know if I like Skyrim that much. But New Vegas is definitely on my list of games to maybe hit. And I want to point out one thing, because I did it on accident because I didn't even think about it. I love this game so much, and I started doing this when I was young. This is how the NPC sit. And it's just been a part of me. One hand on the knee, the other arm on the knee, and then they'll go like this, back and forth. And if you talk to Burke the first time you walk into Megaton, he'll do it. He'll go like this while he's talking to you. Just something I wanted to share with you guys. I feel like I'm finally done. Like, I'm going to keep playing it. Like, I have a bunch of shit I still got to do. But, like, I feel like I'm finally beaten the game to the point where I can't beat it anymore. Everything after this is for sport. Everything for this is for fun. Like, everything I do after this is just because I want to. Because I want to live in this universe for a few more hours. It only took me 40 hours to get these achievements, but it was 40 hours because I was playing my favorite game again, and I just wanted to have a little fun. I just wanted to share that with you guys. So thank you. Enjoy the rest of the program.
So episode 299, right? 299. I don't know why, but I associate 299, the number 299, with comic books, and I don't know why. I don't know how that came to be in my melon. I don't know if it's because Spider-Man issue 300, and then I thought maybe it's that one Hulk comic that introduces Wolverine for the first time, but I think that's like 181 and 182, or 188 and 189, or 180, 181. I'm not sure. So I don't know why, like, not 2299 Spider-Man. I don't know. I just, in my mind, for some reason, 299 is associated with comic books, which is about today's lore. But before I can get into today's lore, I'd like to talk about the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, the show can continue to grow and get bigger and better and faster and stronger. And there's some people that I have to thank who have been supporting the show for quite a long time at this point. So on screen now, you'll see some names. These are the people that I have to thank. Starting from the top, we have to start with the OG Noah. Thank you to Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you to Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. Again, thank you to all of the Patreon. If you like the show, consider checking it out. From the $1 tier to the $10 tier, you become a part of the show. And at the $10 tier, you get to watch these episodes get recorded live in our Discord. So please join the Discord, whether you want to be a part of that tier or not. It's super duper worth it, I think. To just talk to a bunch. It's super chill in the Discord, the Ghoulman Entertainment Discord, and you get to talk to a bunch of like-minded Fallout fans. I think it would be worth your while if you were to check it out. Now, like I said, for some reason, $2.99 in my mind is associated with comic books, and I'm not quite sure why. But I went into the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, and I asked the weekly poll question, and I said, you know what, I want to keep it about comic books. I want to keep it in that vein. And I thought, who are the two that I like the most out of the Fallout universe that I also haven't already covered? There's one that I've already covered a while ago. And Grognak the Barbarian and Captain Cosmos came to mind. I actually didn't realize how much Captain Cosmos got mentioned in Fallout 3 and Jangles the Moon Monkey too. It's a lot more than you'd think, especially when you go from Fallout 3 to Fallout 4 and you see how like Jangles has changed in design. But like Fallout 3, he's just a chimp. Like he's just a monkey ass monkey. And I brought it to the poll. So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout universe, be sure to check out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. Every week I ask a poll question, and your voice, yes, your voice gets heard, thus becoming a bigger part of the show because you, yes, you, get to choose this week's lore. So by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring you this week's lore on Grognak the Barbarian from pretty much the entire Fallout series from Fallout 3 and onward. Grognak the Barbarian. Now, I couldn't find the year where the Grognak comics start. He's a comic book character invented by Hubris Comics, essentially their Marvel or DC. The Fallout universe is Marvel or DC. I couldn't find the year that Grognak began, but what I did find is that Hubris Comics was founded in the year of 2021, so we've passed the real-life date of that. And in 2062, they started making holotape games under the name of Hubris Comics Games Studio, and they made the first Grognak game, which is called Grognak and the Ruby Ruins. And that was made in 2062, so I don't know what year he was made, but he was made before 2062, which I know doesn't really help, and I'm sorry, but I couldn't find a definitive year on the wiki where I get all of my lore. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. Now, like I said, he's a fictional character. He's a comic book character. He has his own comic books, the Grognak the Barbarian comic books, some holotape games like Grognak and the Ruby Ruins, which I just mentioned, and also The Reign of Greelock, two holotape games that can be found in-game. And The Unstoppables, which is essentially Hubris Comics' version of, like, the Avengers or the Justice League, that comprises of Grognak the Barbarian, Manta-Man, the Inspector, the Mistress of Mystery, and the Silver Shroud. If you're familiar with comics or even, like, 80s pop culture, you've probably put together from either me just saying it or playing these games that Grognak the Barbarian is a play on the real-life Marvel comic book character of Conan the Barbarian. And he's usually seen, Grognak is usually seen wearing a green loincloth, some fur boots, the fur-lined brown leather boots, and a fucking just meaty monster axe that he uses to swing and chop at his victims and foes. Grognak has a bunch of enemies. Him being part of the Unstoppables kind of implies that he will become everyone else's bad guy, in a sense. Not the other Unstoppables, but like, you know, Superman fights the Joker. Batman will fight Gorilla Grodd. Wonder Woman will fight whoever Aquaman is fighting. It implies there's a comic book. I'm going to go through a list of his known comic books that we can find in game. And one of them, the Antagonizer, is a bad guy in that one. Now, that doesn't mean the Antagonizer couldn't fight the Silver Shroud. If you know anything about comic books, is that they're buck wild and storylines are always all over the place. But his arch nemesis, again, from what I could infer on the wiki, is a fellow by the name of Greelock, who is a red robe-wearing sorcerer wizardman who casts spells and has an axe and a throne. Like I said, there's 14 books that you can find, 14 comic books that are Grognak books. I'm going to read a little bit about them. There's not a ton that you can infer off of the books because you can't physically read them, but you get the perks of reading them. Like your strength is a little better, especially in Fallout 3, when you collect the books, your strength goes up by one or two if you have the perk that increases them by two. The Ants of Agony, the Antagonizer, tries to get revenge on Grognak. Heavy, the Oaken Crown, released in September of 2077. In the Lair of the Virgin Eater, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the copy that the Lone Wanderer gets on his 10th birthday from Amada when he gets his Pip-Boy. Revenge of the Mansourian. And I looked up what a Saurian is, if I'm even saying that properly. It's like a lizardman. Like a dinosaur. Grognak Salute to the Troops, which was a propaganda issue of the comic book. An Axe for All Ages came out in August of 2077. Blood on the Harp came out January 16th of an unknown year. Cometh the Trickster came out in February 20th, unknown year. Jungle of the Bat Babies came out in March 21st of, again, an unknown year. The rest of these comics are of an unknown year. In the Bosom of the Corsair Queen, April 24th. Demon Slaves, Demon Sams, May 22nd. Enter Mula, War Maidens of Mars, June 22nd. Featherless Cur, that came out in July 24th. Lost in the Snow of Lust, came out in August 24th. What Sorcery is This, December 16th. What Sorcery is This is implied from the cover that it's with his nemesis Greelock that he must fight. There's two other issues that are known to exist in the Fallout universe that we've never actually seen. One of them comes from MacReady that he talks about. And again, this is a quote taken directly from the Fallout wiki, the Nukipedia, if you will. If I could only find the issue where Master Donald and Skullpocalypse teamed up to fight Grognak, I'd have a complete set. And then according to a holotape that's titled Quinlan to be deleted, there's a conversation between Proctor Quinlan and scribe Nakira about boarding and bagging comic books. Now, for the people in the audience who speak to women, when you collect comic books, you buy these special Mylar vinyl bags and these special chemically treated pieces of cardboard, and you put them... You put the comic on the cardboard, and then you put the cardboard and the comic in the little sleeve, and then once you've read the comic, you put that in a box, and then that box sits somewhere and hopefully is worth some money at some point in time. It's not. It might be worth the money you paid for the comic book, but we're not talking about Golden Age books here. We're talking about modern day stuff. Anyway, one of the most rare books isn't given a name, but in the issue, Grognak dies and comes back to life, and it's also an annual, which means it's a, I believe, Superman. Superman is what I think of when I think of giant 108-page annuals. It's just once a year, this massive story would come out. It'd be like 100 pages, maybe more, maybe less, and it would tell one story, and they have this conversation that apparently Proctor Quinlan is collecting Grognak comics, or comics in general. And according to the 2076 underline price guide, it is the rarest and most expensive comic in the Grognak pantheon of books. And they have a genuine conversation about corners being bent. And they have a conversation about corners being bent and how you should always board and bag your comics. It is silly, but as a nerd, as someone who self-identifies as someone with nerdy interests, I appreciate that because that is a real thing that if someone came over to my house and was fiddling with my comics, not that I even have a ton, but if they were taking them out and bending the corners, I'd get pretty upset about it. Just some behind the scenes fun facts. In the Lair of the Virgin Eater, the comic book from the game, the Grognak comic book, is reminiscent of the Liars of the Ice Worm Conan comic book. The Lost Snows of the Lust also reference the Frost Giant's Daughter, which is a Conan the Barbarian book. The titles In the Bosom of the Crosshair Queen and Jungle of the Bat Babies allude to the Conan story Queen of the Black Coast. This one I think is really, really cool. I'm going to read this one directly off of the Fallout Wiki. The antagonist in the issue Cometh the Trickster is a direct reference to the Trickster from the Thief series. Moreover, the comic is found at the bus and apartment wreckage, which is a recreation of childhood home of Emil Pagliarulo, who has also worked on the series on an early game. I remember before Fallout 4 came out, Emil was saying about how his childhood home is in the game because it's set in Boston. He's from Boston. I think that's really cool that he worked on Thief. This game was made about his like hometown. His house is there. A comic book inspired by one of his earlier games is there. It's a cool full circle moment. I love stuff like this because it builds out the world. It's stuff that you don't need to know about Fallout, but makes the Fallout universe seem real. It seems like a place that you or I could inhabit. We might even want to inhabit it, and we can just kind of hang out and live in that universe. I mean, you don't want to because it blew up, but you know, you and I can both be there and have fun reading these comic books, even though they cost $23 a book because inflation is a hell of a thing in the Fallout universe. But I hope you've enjoyed that, because that is all I have on this week's lore. Bye. Hey guys, welcome to segment three, the third segment. Can you believe it? Here on segment three, I like to talk about what's going on in the world. And if you're following world politics, we're not going to get too political, but following world politics, the U.S.'s infrastructure is dying. There is a bridge that is incredibly important in Baltimore that just collapsed. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know about the bridge, or I know about the politics behind the bridge, or how much money it's going to take, or who should even pay for the bridge being fixed. This is the first of many. A lot of bridges, if you are not the Brooklyn Bridge, or the Manhattan Bridge, or the Golden Gate Bridge, I doubt your bridge will get any sort of attention in America. And this is going to stop commerce. This is going to stop travel. Like, imagine if you took that bridge every single day for work, and the only other way to work is now a 2-hour drive. What do you do? Am I supposed to leave the house at 5 a.m. now to get to work for 7? What do I do? Everyone else is going to be taking that other route now as well. It's sad to see. I saw the video of it. It's just a boat kind of going and then like nicks the bridge. And then the entire bridge collapses on this boat. The boat's sitting there. There's people that were on the bridge, cars that were on the bridge. Like, imagine if your insurance doesn't cover that. Like, oh, that's not an act of God. Sorry, it's not covered. What do you mean? What do you mean? The picture of my grandma was in that car. I'm never getting that back. She's dead. Like, it's sad. And it's just genuinely a thing that I think is going to slowly... My hometown, they had to build a new bridge. And they wouldn't keep the old one as a walking bridge, which I never fucking understood. But they wouldn't keep the old bridge. And they wouldn't fix it because they said there's so many holes from the way... Pennsylvania is known for its awful roads, but hey, guess what? Every other state is too. Every other state has awful roads and the drivers don't know how to drive there. That's every state you go to. But Pennsylvania is like known for, because it'll rain, water gets in the cracks, it freezes, and that's just constant. There's a saying in Pennsylvania, there's two seasons. There's winter and there's road construction. And it's not far off. But the bridge was so destroyed that they had to build a second bridge. And I don't know if we ever said it early on, but we used to say, fuck 'em, I'm taking the new bridge. And that stems from before the second bridge, the new bridge was finished. We should be like, I got to get there. I don't got a lot of time. Fuck it. Fuck 'em, I'm taking the new bridge. Like, I knew a kid who had an ongoing bet to see who was going to have this one. I say kid, he was fucking 20. We're all in our 20s. It was one kid in my friend group, one fella, one individual in my friend group who was of legal age, and another fella in my friend group who was, again, of legal age, had an ongoing bet the first person to have sex on the unfinished new bridge won $100 from the other person. I don't think anybody ever won, but that would have been a wild rush because one night I had friends that snuck onto the bridge and said it's just hella windy. So... But it's slowly going to happen. We really need to fix the bridges. We really need to put more money into, you know, not other people's wars. Sorry to get political. But, like, we need to really focus on what we're doing here because what we don't know what we're doing here. It's not safe for kids to go to school. It's not safe to drive. I don't know what's going on. I don't. I hope your part of the world is safe. I hope wherever you are listening to this, you are not affected by these things. Whether it be in America, and, you know, technically, I'm not affected by the Baltimore Bridge collapsing because I don't live on the East Coast. I don't live in Baltimore. I live in the middle of, I live in the middle of the country, in the middle of nowhere. But, like, it's a real possibility that something like that could happen here. When you get out to the middle of the country, it's nothing but highways. And highways are often elevated. And if that starts to happen with all of the highways, then what are we going to do? When does the Mad Maxing happen? When will I get to spray my face full of chrome, shiny and new, and drive off into the desert, the end? I don't know. Thank you guys for joining me. My name has been Vince. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. The intro song that I have is called Feather Duster, but you can check out all of his music at silvermansounds.com/free-music. Like I said, mine's called Feather Duster, and that's the intro that should be playing at the beginning of the show and right now. Also, there is a link in the description to the Discord below. Join it, please, especially if you like the show, because we're going to be doing an episode 300 live for everybody. That'll be free, so check that out if you get a chance. April 3rd, 8:30, Mountain Standard Time. There is a link to my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, and the show's Twitter down there, and the Patreon, which I talked about quite a bit this episode. Give the Patreon a look-see if you get a chance. Even if you just show it to somebody or if you just share the show anywhere, please share the show. Give me a thumbs up. Give me a comment, something. Put it on Reddit. The algorithm helps. I don't want to work for anybody other than myself. There's also the Redbubble where you can buy something, a logo of some sort. It helps the show. That's all I really got to say for this week, guys. I hope you enjoy that. I love you very much. I'll be seeing you next week. Be safe. Next week's a big one. They said it would never be done. About the 300, baby. Love you guys. I'll see you later. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Gulman Entertainment.